Hey, Bill, baby.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do hood rat stuff for my friend.
Well, you're sorry, hood man.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Friday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, episode 145 of the Hezzy, brought to you by BasketballGods.net. I got a special episode for y'all.
I gotta feed the streets.
Y'all know the Warriors are my squad. I predominantly talk dubs, and I try to cover the entire league. I've been accused of being called a casual a couple times, but the reality of it is how could I not be when it comes to certain points, right? I have to kind of pick and choose and dabble around different teams and in games because there's only so many hours to watch hoops, right? And so, again, the Warriors are my specialty, and I know that most of you listening and my patrons are Warrior fans. And so I've got a special Warriors Christmas edition. I want to go through the squad and give a wish list for what I'd like for each of these guys moving into the new year and for the rest of this season. Let's start with the man himself, the chef, Steph Curry. What I'd like to see for him in 2022, more middies, more mid-range jump shots. I know that the analytics push back against that, but we're seeing several all-stars with a ton of success, namely DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Durant. Now, they're much bigger players. I understand that. And Steph Curry is going through his annual shooting slump. Yes, it's true. Steph does go through shooting slumps. And if you pay attention, he does every year. We know he's going to shoot his way out of that, right? I think the real concern has been his lack of finishing in the rim and in the paint, right? That's gone down to a career low, I believe. And if you want to be frank about the situation, this is what happens to smaller guards as they age. Remember, there was a certain point where Chris Paul, granted, is smaller than Steph, but he just stopped looking to finish at the rim. He was like, fuck that, I ain't doing it. And he became a mid-range god. And so we've already talked about Steph protecting himself, and I agree with that. He's not really willing to sell out at the rim like some of these younger, more powerful guards are. And by all means, don't, Steph, right? But I think what would help alleviate some of the percentages and help him score easier. We know he's going to score, but can he do it easier where it's less taxing? Just attack the mid-range because he really doesn't take many of them. And if you pay attention to the way defenses guard Steph, that's the only spot on the floor where they're not hyper-reactive and sensitive to him, right? It's either he's getting into the rim for the float or it's the three ball. And so it'll open up the rest of his game and bring up his efficiencies if he looks to score in the mid-range a little more. Look at his brother. Look at Seth. Seth has become another mid-range master here, and he's perfectly willing to. And so that's what I wish for Steph in 2022. Moving on to Draymond Green. Listen, I love how aggressive he's been offensively this season, right? Like, it's been ideal. I think the thing that I would wish for most with Draymond would be if he could somehow find it in his basketball character to just be happy making the simple pass at times. We all know he's a home run hitter, and he's addicted to the flashy pass, the lob, the backdoor bounce pass from 40 feet, right? And I get it. It gets the crowd off their feet, and you got to take risks to be rewarded. And a lot of the time, he's rewarded for it. And I also understand that the Warriors' system innately is going to lead to turnovers. With that much passing, ball movement, and assists, like you lead the league in assists, you're going to be up there in turnovers. That's just a fact. I understand that. But I do think that Draymond is kind of the catalyst. When we have these quarters with 8, 9 turnovers and we're throwing the ball all over the place carelessly, it usually starts with Draymond, right? And it trickles down. Steph definitely deserves some of that blame, but it trickles down into the rest of the team. And you see all of a sudden in a half, they have 14 or 15 turnovers. And that's usually a determining factor in the outcome of the game. But look, I'm not holding my breath. I'm not naive. Draymond is who he is, right? He's a high risk, high reward type of dude. And so I'd love for that to happen. In theory, again, I don't think it will. So I'll go to something much more simple. How about getting that free throw percentage up. 59% on the year, Draymond. That's even unacceptable for you. And the three balls looked better, right? Like the offense, I have no problem. I love how aggressive he's been slicing to the rim, keeping the defense honest. But again, that 59, you got to get that up to somewhere around 70. So Draymond, get the free throws up. Otherwise, it's been a real, I don't want to say perfect season, but I have no complaints. Y'all haven't heard me mention trading Draymond one time this year. You know that, right? All right, moving on to Klay Thompson. This is the easiest one on my list, right? Because it's very simple. I just want to see him on the floor, happy playing basketball again. It's that simple. I want to see him hitting threes and turning back down the court with that bounce, especially in the corner when Klay hits that three and he kind of pivots, turns back the other way, and there's that little bounce. I can't wait to see that again. So I just want to see Klay back on the floor. Moving on to Jordan Poole. It's tough to ask a player to get stronger in season. We've seen him get more athletic, right? You see he's worked on his body, the first step. He's finishing well above the rim at this stage, but he still has a lot of room to grow, I think, with strength. And in particular, you see it on the defensive end. When he gets up against a more powerful player, some of these more stout power guards, they're able to kind of just blow through him, you know? And what is it? He's 22 years old, right? And so the reality of it is, it's going to take time. You don't gain. That's why it's called old man strength, right? Steph's got his old man strength now. You can't just get it overnight. It can't just be one summer in the weight room. So I'd say by the time he's 25, 26 years old, he'll be at the strength level where he can be the complete player that I know he's striving to be. So since that's kind of an unrealistic ask this season, I will say I'd love for him to learn how to find a better rhythm in open catch-and-shoot situations. If you've noticed, Jordan Poole, he's what I call a tight-window shooter, meaning he shoots better when there's a contest. You know, those wide-open ones, he doesn't really make those. I know this because I used to be the same way, and it usually comes from playing a lot of pickup ball, a lot of 21, a lot of playground ball, where street ball shit. But you look at this team, Klay coming back, there's going to be even more spacing on the floor. The way they move the ball, the system is elite passing. He's going to find himself with more and more of these kind of, what do you call them, butt naked looks. And so I challenge him to find his rhythm there. Because again, he likes to shoot off the bounce when he's moving. He has a quick rhythm and pace, right? And sometimes, and those shots are hard. I'm not going to front. Those wide open ones, they're hard. So whether that be a toe tap with the right leg, a quick foot hop replacement, or a far less likely thing would be as if he found some sort of set shot, but we know that's not kind of Poole's pace. But I challenge Jordan Poole to shoot better on wide open threes, catch and shoot situation. Kevon Looney. That's easy, right? A new hip. I kid. Nah, man. Look, I'll keep wishing for that little elbow jumper, that little David West mid-range jumper from Kevon. And we've seen, if you've watched Kevon play, what's the dude down in LA where they all hoop at? His name is escaping me. I feel like he works for the Kings now. But I've watched a lot of Kevon Looney summer workouts when he was with KD and all this. Like, Loon has the skill set and the technique. He can shoot the mid-range jumper. I've even seen him shoot threes comfortably, not in game, right? So he has the skill set, but he doesn't have the mindset. And it doesn't seem like he's ever going to get truly comfortable to take those shots in games. And here's the thing. Here's what it is you got to be okay missing a few shots. That's really what it is. Like I used to like to get a shot up the first time I touched the ball in a game. Granted, I've never been paid to play basketball, but it was almost like kind of get this out the way. Let me get one, two up, and I know eventually I'll get my rhythm. And Looney, he's one of these guys where he'll take like one jump shot a week when it's there and he misses it and he never wants to take another one, right? He's not okay missing a couple to make some. And that is the battle mentally with Kevon Looney and why he hasn't evolved that part of his game. Bottom line, he has to be all right missing his first, second, or even third shot. He's still got to take the third or fourth. So we'll see. We'll see, Loon. We forget, man. I know I like to have my fun with Kevon. He's 25 years old, so it's not too late. But again, it's here, Kevon. It's attack it through the mind. We know you've put in the work. You have the jumper, so use it, baby. Jonathan Kuminga. Outside of wishing that he gets some real playing time, it's his free throws, right? We know he's a foul magnet, and if he can be in the 70s as a rookie, I'd be ecstatic, right? Because I think for what that would mean moving forward. And we haven't talked too much about his shot mechanics. They're not great. They're not great. I think that he could adjust his hand placement for better wrist flexion. As far as changing that forehead release point, that's a bigger project. That's going to take some time. But I think that the important thing is the vibe that I get from young Kuminga is he's not going to have mental issues at the line. Now, I won't say he'd never, because it's possible. Anybody can have the yips up at the free throw line. We've seen it throughout the history of the league. But he's not one of these guys that strikes me where he's going to like lose confidence. I think confidence is one of his elite traits. That's what I'm seeing. And so that's half the battle at the line, honestly. Like, again, the mechanics, they're not great, but they're not totally broken either. And so if this kid has true confidence, like we've seen Jordan Poole in his first 3 years, then he'll figure it out at the free throw line. And so I'd like to see him again up in the 70s at the line, because he probably at some point here in the next two seasons lead the team in free throw attempts per game if he continues on the trajectory he should. How about the big ticket, James Wiseman? Ain't nobody calling him that now. I guess he prefers Jay Wise, right? I want a lot from James Wiseman, man. I'll try not to get too greedy here with my wishes for Wiseman, but first and foremost, core strength. Even though he's been rehabbing the knee, he should be significantly more functionally strong. And that really starts with the core, right? And so a lot of the rehab process should have worked hand in hand with that. A lot of when you're coming through an injury, a lot of it is balance work and body weight work, right? And it's going to stimulate your core and activate that and teach you how to activate that. So just the ability to absorb contact and keep his balance is going to go a long way in him being able to use that size and physical gifts that he was blessed with. The second thing that I'd like to see in year two is better timing. And that mostly pertains to the defensive end, right? Contesting shots with better timing and then rotating, dropping in pick and rolls, defensive timing. And I say that understanding that you don't really get better at that unless you're playing, and he hasn't played. And so I hope to see that as he plays. I'm not expecting him his first game back to have better timing. But as the year goes on and he's got 15, 20 games under his belt, I'd like to see him show a little better sense of timing, particularly on the defensive end. Andre Iguodala. Obviously, man, just stay healthy, Dre. Just stay healthy. Remain aggressive offensively. You know, that's all I got for Andre. And for a couple of these guys, really, Damian Lee, Otto Porter, and GP2 have been really good. They've been really good. I have an individual video coming on a couple of these guys here and then headed into the new year. So you can wait on that, where I can talk more specifically about those guys and their roles. But I don't even want to jinx anything. Those guys have been really good. I know D. Lee struggled here the last 10 days. And then, man, he just went back in COVID protocol. I hate to see it, because it felt like it took him that road trip to gain his confidence and conditioning back. And here he is back in protocol. But let's move on to another role player here. JTA, Juan T. I grant you the green light, my G. Take the shots that are provided for you and it will work out. I understand he's had more sporadic minutes this season. There is more pressure with the depth of this roster. And then the fact that we're winning and we're atop the NBA, all those elements have caused him to be a much more hesitant shooter than we saw a season ago when they were kind of out there playing for fun, playing for free. He shouldn't be. He's put in the work to shoot that shot, specifically that corner three ball. Back to GP2 here for a second. That's what's been so impressive about GP2, because if we were sitting here having a conversation 30 games into the season and you were going to say, hey, who's the hesitant shooter? Who's the guy that needs to take the shot? I would have guessed it would have been GP2, but it's been Juan T and freaking Bielitsa, right? Man. So let's move on to Bielitsa. Again, Juan T, just shoot your shot, baby. I grant you the green light in 2022. Don't get carried away with it. I'm not talking about off the bounce, but when it swung to you on the weak side, let that shit go. Let's move on to Bielitsa. Started off really nice in that Lakers game, but I think in hindsight what that was it was a super old, big, and slow Lakers team that probably made Belly look better than what he actually is. Styles make fights, so to be fair, against some of these bigger teams, maybe Belly is better. But what I would like to see from Bielitsa is a true floater. Most of these European players, they have the floater, but I know y'all cringe every time he uses that slow and go move and starts to drive to the paint because it's either a turnover or a brick. So I think he could really use a nice floater. He's already moving at that pace, right? It's not like he's coming flying into the paint and he's got to decelerate to get the floater off. It ain't that. But I think a big part of finishing efficiently is you got to be looking to finish once you get into the paint. And I think that's part of his problem, right? Because it's always option B or a last resort. He comes driving into the paint because he wants this big window to shoot his shot. That's a subject for another time, right? But he comes in there all slow. And I think what he wants to do is drop it off to the dunker spot or kick to the corner. And as the passing lanes close or it's not there, he ends up with kind of like this like half-hearted layup. And so if you're going to put it down and drive as much as you are, Bielitsa, I'm sure he has it in his bag. Look for the floater or look to score first, pass second on those drives. And I think he'd become much more efficient in doing so. How about Moses Moody? It looks like he's going to get buried here because you got Clay coming back. We've got all this depth at the guard spot. So I'm just going to say, stay ready, right? Instead of focusing on not playing, and I'm not saying that he's doing this, but a lot of young guys that get kind of salty that they're not seeing the floor, don't focus on that. Treat it like it's an extended training camp and absorb everything you can. Focus on getting better. Work on your body. See if he can get a little quicker laterally here. I know that's kind of God-given, but if he could get a little quicker with his feet, you know, that would help. And then just stay ready again and absorb. So that's all I have for Moody because, again, I'm not sure how much we're going to see him, you know, especially with the cheese in the mix and shit like that. So who else here? Who am I? Two-way Wiggs. Big Vax. Andrew Wiggins. He's been really good, man. Right? He's been really good, especially in fourth quarters when it matters. The numbers don't knock your socks off outside of that three-point shooting, which we're not going to talk about. But if you notice, it's not how much he's scoring. It's when he's scoring. And Andrew Wiggins all season long has scored when we needed him to. And so he's been really good, man. The defense, we saw that last year. So I'll say get the free throw percentage up, much like Draymond. Like, he's sitting at 70% right now, just with his athleticism and how they're posting him up on smaller guards now, and he's hanging out in that dunker spot, which I assume he will do even more with Clay's return. You'd love to see that get up into the higher 70s. Am I asking too much to get it to 80%? I mean, you're shooting 42% from three. I said we weren't going to mention it, but he's shooting the lights out from three. Get the free throw percentage up to 80%, Wiggs, because you're fulfilling your destiny, bro. All right, I'll throw one trade in here for y'all. One Christmas wish trade from Alchemy. And I understand that the reports out of the front office are the Warriors are taking the if it ain't broke, don't fix it approach. I hear you. I get it. I'm fine. Like, even when y'all have to understand, when we talk trades here, I'm a YouTuber, right? I do a podcast. So you got to talk about it. It's part of the biz. It's not like I'm super thirsty for one, but I'll give you something that's realistic on the outskirts of the roster that could help us. So my target initially was Daniel Tice from Houston. And I'm looking, I'm like, all right, Kevon and Moody works. And Tice would just be amazing in the Looney role. He really would, man, because he can switch out on the perimeter. He protects the rim much better than you would think. Shoots the occasional. He'd just be really nice. He's 29 years old. But I'm looking at Houston's roster, and I'm like, look, there's no way that they will value Moody like that because they've got too many young guards. You've got Kevin Porter Jr. You've got Jalen Green. You've got Josh Christensen. You still got old Eric Gordon out there. It didn't make sense, right? So I was like, all right, let me keep it moving. It's a pipe dream. So how about Moses Moody to Oklahoma City for Mike Muscala? Don't jump out of your seat with excitement now. Come on now, Dub Nation. Look, Muscala is quietly shooting the lights out in OKC, 42% from three. He's 30 years old, 6'10", 2 years, $6 million deal. And we add another big body who can space the floor and contribute right now. And you're not really disrupting anything, really. Right now, I get it. Like, you guys that watch the NFL and the draft stuff, how they have the point system. Like, each draft pick is worth this many points on the board, and they do it very systematically, much more so than the NBA does, I believe. If this was an NFL trade, it would be a major L, right? Because essentially you're trading the 14th pick for Mike Muscala. I understand that. Like, on paper, it sounds horrendous. But I don't think it's that simple, because you look at Muscala's value to the team the next two seasons could be way more than Moody's. Moody's may have a higher value in five seasons, but the next two, who would be more valuable to this team? And we know how important the next two, three seasons are for Steph, Dre, and Clay. All right, there you have it. My wish list for the Warriors moving into 2022. Y'all have a safe, healthy, happy Christmas, or whatever holiday you celebrating over this weekend. This is the Hezzy, brought to you by basketballgods.com. I'm out, y'all.